All right, Carrie Crowley joins us, Bay Area News Group. Carrie, we had a lot of fun with you yesterday.
We did. Out here at the Public House all morning. It was a great time, Marty.
All right, now, how about Samardzija yesterday? How about the game yesterday? Just the kind of the perfect game the Giants played yesterday.
Yeah, Samardzija was really good, and what stood out to me was he was able to attack both down in the zone and up in the zone. You saw in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings, he got a lot of swings and misses with the fastball and the cutter above the letters, and I thought that was really impressive, and it's a testament to the way that he has evolved as a pitcher. We talked about this on the pregame show yesterday about how Jeff Samardzija can no longer rely on the 97-mile-an-hour heat he came up with in 2008 and had really through 2014. He's a different pitcher, but he is a much more effective pitcher these days.
Yeah, I was going to say that he used to throw like the 95, 96, 97, and it made him susceptible to the home run, which I feel like he's maybe not given up quite as many. I haven't looked at the home run rate for him lately. It seems like he doesn't get hit quite as hard. Guys aren't putting wood on the ball because he's had to pitch more and use location more.
And when he has given up home runs, most of them have been solo shots. I believe 13 of the 20 he's now given up this year have been solo shots, and really for him, that's been key because you saw when he was going bad, he was giving up the two-run shot, the three-run shot. Balls were leaving the yard at an alarming rate. And this year, in the era of home runs in Major League Baseball, Jeff Samardzija has somehow evolved into a much more successful pitcher, and it's because he's been able to limit that damage.
I think he's been terrific. I really do. And he's been dominating, in a sense. And in July, if you needed to win a game, you'd probably take him over anybody. So a good game for him yesterday. A very good game. Good baseball moment at the end of the game with Harper. And I'll ask you this, Kerry. People can't stand Harper. How come? Well, what is it then? Well, what is it?
People don't like success, Marty. People don't like success. I'll say that. And the way that Harper carries himself turns a lot of people off. They think that he's brash. They think that he thinks a lot of himself. He's a little too overconfident. But you know what? Bryce Harper can hit the ball 470 feet, and very few people can do that. So however he wants to walk around and carry himself, the Phillies will take it.
You know, this goes back to his, like, second year in the league, Marty, and I think... Kerry, maybe you remember this too. They did a poll of players and asked players like who the most overrated player in baseball was. And I think after his rookie year, he was voted by his peers the most overrated. Then he comes out and he hits like 340, wins an MVP, and he has not had a season like that since. But I think clearly he's one of the best sluggers in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And fans
absolutely
wanted him here, which is why now they're booing.
Absolutely, absolutely. They wanted him here. I think everyone would have taken a Bryce Harper in the middle of this Giants lineup, but... You know, if you're not extremely humble, there's societal expectations that these superstars have to carry themselves in a particular way. And Bryce Harper maybe doesn't do that to the way that baseball fans would like to see. And he's not for everyone. He's an acquired taste, but I think that during his time in Philadelphia, he's made many fans because he can hit the ball so far.
And Tom McCarthy said it yesterday, and other people said it. Jim Salisbury said it. He's hustling.
Mm-hmm. You know what I would compare it to, actually? I would think that Bryce Harper is to baseball almost what Draymond Green is to basketball, in the way that you love him when he's on your side and you absolutely hate going up against him. And so I think that there's a sense of that, and I think that's true for several of baseball stars. I think Manny Machado's that way in San Diego, and I think that other players are evolving that way. And so not everyone is going to be a Mike Trout or a Mookie Betts and carry themselves in a particular manner, but you can still be successful and you can still be an all-star and help your team win, which is what Bryce Harper doing.
Well, part of it too is it's the money. It's the he's making this X amount of dollars, and he doesn't have as many home runs as Pete Alonso does. He's not doing what Fernando Tatis Jr. is doing. So you look around and you say, why would you pay this guy this amount of money? Plus, he turned his back on San Francisco and maybe even leveraged the Giants against the Phillies to get the contract. So I understand the booing of him. It also goes back to home runs in the postseason, and what Ron Wotus was telling us, of course, the Hunter Strickland
fight. Oh yeah, he had the great relationship with Hunter Strickland. those two got along so well.
My goodness.
That was a nice chapter.
Well, it was a good baseball moment,
chapter.
And Will Smith got it done.
Will Smith did get it done. The sliders that he's throwing to left-handed hitters, you saw him to Harper, you saw him to Corey Dickerson. What a weapon that pitch is right now. I think it's the best breaking ball any reliever in baseball has going right now.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's high praise.
Yeah.
High praise.
You see the swings and misses. I mean, he's done it to Yelich. He's done it to Harper. There is not a left-handed hitter in baseball who can see Will Smith well.
It's a good call.
All right, very good.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, Tony Watson the other night was giving up. I'm sure you guys talked about this yesterday, but he's been susceptible to the home run and kind of grooving a slider in there that gets hit.
Yeah, Tony Watson has reverse splits this year. Marty asked him about that. Right-handers have actually had a worse time hitting against Watson than lefties have, and you saw Harper, as you mentioned, launching the ball into McCovey Cove against him the other night. And you know, the Giants have always looked at Watson as a guy who's a full inning, maybe sometimes even more than an inning guy. He's not a left-handed specialist, and I think that that's important to when you're thinking of the perspective of Tony Watson, it's not just that he's here to get left-handed hitters out. He's a full-inning guy.
Well, the traded players were interesting yesterday for the Giants. Of course, Dyson is on the IL, and mm-hmm. the Twins had won a big game yesterday over Cleveland to get that one-game lead again in the Central. But Mark Melancon, they made him the closer in Atlanta, and they had a 6-2 lead. And when he left, it was 6-3 with the bases loaded in the ninth inning. And Shane Green took care of the rest of it, 6-6, and they ended up losing the game 7-6, and I'm not sure he's the closer anymore. But it was his second game in a row. You can't do that with him. We learned that here. And every pitch, and if you watch it on the replay, right down the middle. Mm-hmm. Every pitch, right down the middle, and they got hits all over the place. And so that was that.
It's why Bruce Bochy almost insisted on having eight relievers in his bullpen during the first half of the season, because regardless of how Farhan wanted to structure this Giants 25-man roster, you can't throw Mark Melancon on back-to-back days. You can't throw Sam Dyson on back-to-back days. Will Smith was a Tommy John guy. He was still able to throw three of four, but you couldn't go line him up three in a row and expect the same stuff. And so I think it's really key when you have a Reyes Maranta who can go every day, a Trevor Gott who can go every day. You know, there are going to be guys in that bullpen who have to have their rest. And Mark Melancon and Sam Dyson are proving that in other destinations right now.
Well, Atlanta learned it firsthand yesterday, let yes. me tell you.
Well, and Minnesota did, too. I mean, last week, Sam Dyson got rocked before they put him on the IL with yeah. the biceps tendonitis. I mean, he'd come in a game, and I think he got one out or did not record an out, gave up four runs,
yeah.
And was really struggling. So it's
well,
it's,
and then the Pomerantz. Did you see him yesterday?
I did not.
I think he threw 20 pitches, 9 strikes. So he started walking.
For the
you know, it's a close game for the Brewers. Josh Hader, you know, he can't pitch back to back. He'd pitched 40 pitches.
Yeah,
the night
all
before.
He does is give up home runs.
That's what he does now. So I said the crazy thing is Melancon, Pomerantz, Melancon, Pomerantz, and Dyson will all be closers for their teams. All right, so here's Pomerantz. He
Sorry.
Comes in, and we know this. So Pomerantz gets a couple outs, and then he starts walking people.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up getting a strikeout, and Grandal throws somebody out at the back end of a double steal to get him out of the inning. And Pomerantz, they got him out at that point. I think it was Albers, I think, finished it up for Milwaukee.
Yeah, I don't know that you want Drew Pomerantz in a lot of high-leverage situations.
Yeah.
He has the high volume of strikeouts, which is really nice. He misses bats. He's got the fastball that plays up when he comes out of the bullpen. He does not have three pitches. He is not a starting pitcher, and I'm not sure he's really even a setup pitcher either. And so his role is limited. He can be effective. It's just figuring out the right way to use him.
So I was looking at how the bullpen's constituted right now for the Giants. They got a lot of lefties in the bullpen.
They do.
What are they doing with all these people?
That's a good question. Well, they're trying to hide Travis Bergen through the Rule 5 season and get him to his right. 90 days, so he's got to be around. Tony Watson, Andrew Suarez right now is the long reliever in this bullpen. And they've got one more, Smith. Well, he's the closer.
What about
Williams Jerez, that's right.
He's here, too.
It's easy to forget that some of these guys are around because the bullpen has been flopped in and out, and there's so many guys back and forth from Sacramento.
Well, Selman
Sam
was here.
Selman
yep,
was here.
He was up and down.
We're going to see Kyle Bearclaw. We're going to see Ryan Dull. These guys who are on the 40-man roster, it's only a matter of time when the Giants play an extra inning game. You're going to see a full line change at some point.
Well, you're going to see it today.
Yeah.
With Connor Menez.
Yes.
It's going to be different every time you say it.
No, five letters, five pronunciations.
Yeah, well, how far is he going today? You know,
let's
hope he can get deep into the game, but it'll be a bullpen game mm-hmm. at some point. So I happened to notice it yesterday. There's a ton of left-handers in the Giants' bullpen.
Yeah, that's a great point. And a few of those guys are full-inning pitchers in Watson and Smith, but I don't think they look at Bergen as a guy who's more than a left-handed specialist down the line. Jerez is probably just here to give them an inning or two if they get into a situation where they're short. And so, yeah, you're right. It's a lot of lefties in that bullpen.
Do you think the Giants are, and they do have this, and I've heard Farhan talk about this, do you think they're preparing themselves with these pitchers, especially the young ones, to be full-inning pitchers? Or are teams doing this now? The baseball's moving into that new rule. It's coming next year,
yeah.
right? You've got to either finish the inning or get the pitch the entire inning.
Well, one thing that I really pay close attention to is the AA and AAA box scores. And we are not seeing guys at the minor league level face one or two hitters. They're going oftentimes two innings. The Giants were grooming Sam Selman as a two-inning starting reliever during the first half of the season. So when he came up, he was really only throwing an inning for the Giants. But that's why you've seen Yandel Gustave go two innings at a time. And Travis Bergen was doing two innings on his rehab assignment. They're trying to really stretch these guys out and make sure that they can face both righties and lefties and take the platoon advantage out of these situations and get them accustomed to the rules that are coming in 2020.
Yeah, I don't feel like we've seen a lot of specialists or even this year. I mean, that's what made Bochy so, I mean, he pushed all the right buttons throughout all those postseasons. Granted, he had his guys in Lopez who would come in and face two lefties or a lefty and a righty and then a lefty. But it seems like this year you're not hardly at all seeing a guy come in and go a third of an inning.
Yeah, some manager next year is going to get really burned by this situation. Maybe it's Davey Martinez in Washington. Maybe it's Mickey Callaway in New York. But someone is going to fail epically managing their bullpens when you're not going to have a left-handed specialist or a right-handed specialist situation because of the new rules that are coming where you have to face three hitters. And I think Giants fans just hope that Bruce Bochy's replacement has somewhat of a feel for the bullpen because no one's ever going to be able to match Bruce in what he was able to do during his best years in San Francisco.
You need someone who knows how to manage. That's why I love Ron Wotus in a situation like this. I don't know what Farhan's going to do, but Wotus should be part of this thing.
Absolutely.
Because he understands that part of the game. And the defensive part of the game, too. So
and the community part of the organization.
And the communication part, too.
You need a link to the Giants community. You can't just flip over this entire staff. And I think that Farhan has understood that. And in his 1 year in San Francisco, he's picked that up, that you need someone who's got that link and understands the fan base, understands the long-tenured players like Buster Posey and Madison Bumgarner, Brandon Crawford, what they mean to this organization, the community. And I think Ron Wotus is the bridge there on that coaching
staff.
And
he can talk about managing in Shreveport in 1994.
What a great affiliate.
You know, really, Shreveport captains, they used to call them. So that's what Woe brings to the table as well. And you have to, that's part of the fabric of an organization. So I think he understands that. I hope it's clear. Evan Longoria yesterday had a heck of a game. Pilar had a heck of a game. Look, we kicked it around yesterday. For me, Pilar is here. Mm-hmm. I don't care, $7 million, whatever it is. There's no one who plays like this guy, and he's a right-handed hitter who can hit it out. Come on, we've been going year after year after year. Come, nobody can hit it out in left field. This guy can. Don't let him get away. And Longoria had a. Longoria showed yesterday how important it is for the core guys to do something.
Yeah, it's so interesting to watch Kevin Pillar because. In many ways, he is the anti-Farhan player. He swings at everything, low on base percentage, doesn't have really elite coverage in the outfield, but positions himself well, so he makes a ton of great catches, and he makes up for some athleticism that he may not have compared to some of the truly great center fielders in this league. But, you know, I'm starting to get on board with what Marty's saying and thinking that Kevin Pillar will come back next year because it is only a one-year commitment. He's arbitration eligible. It'll be around $7 million. And I think that if Steven Duggar has got this shoulder issue and you can't really trust anyone else in center field, you look at the center field free agent market or the trade market, it's going to be hard to find a long-term replacement. And so I think that Pillar can be that guy in 2020, and maybe Elliot Ramos will come up at the second half of the season and take over in center field for him.
Well, I think you're right in that because of the Duggar injury, it virtually guarantees that he'll be back. You're going to need a veteran outfielder. By the way, you gave up nothing to go get Kevin Pillar. What'd you give up? Alan Hansen.
By the way,
you're speaking of guys who are getting saves. Derek Law got his third save of the month last night. They're putting him in now as the closer in
Toronto.
He's
got a 5 ERA, so.
Yeah, but in the last month, he's been pretty damn good as the closer for Toronto. So I'm with you. I think that with Duggar out, it virtually guarantees Pillar's back.
For me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. This guy can reach the seats in left field. They're dying for guys like this.
You know what's interesting? If Farhan was still with the A's, would they bring Kevin Pillar back at $7 million? I say probably not, but he has the benefit of a Giants team that has deep pockets. This organization can go up against that luxury tax threshold. It can go over the luxury tax threshold where it's set in 2020, and I think that $7 million is not that big of an investment compared to where it would be in smaller markets.
And by the way, he's a movable piece, I think, at $7 million. Once you're prorating that contract into next season, you need to move that towards deadline time. I think that's a movable piece.
It's one day of garlic fries. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. It's nothing.
That's a great point.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Half an inning of 1925 beer sales. That's all it is.
I'm telling you, it's nothing. The guy can hit it out in left field. You want it. You want to see that. How about the rest of baseball? What's going on? The Mets and How about this hitter for the Reds?
Oh, Marty, you're telling me I'm up against him in fantasy baseball this week. He's killing me.
How about this? I had him and Yordan go yesterday for me. Talk about those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, these young hitters, you see these guys come up and have such tremendous success right away, and the Giants have been waiting for that ever since Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, and Brandon Belt came up. You know, it's the back half of the decade. They're waiting for someone to do that, and Elliot Ramos gets the promotion to Double-A. And this morning, Marco Luciano and Jairo Pomares promoted out of rookie ball. They're up to Salem Kaiser, and so the Giants are moving these guys along, these young teenage hitters, and you're starting to see some confidence in the organization being built that the future is going to be pretty bright on the position player side.
They're moving people quickly today. You get to the look at Acuna and you get to the big leagues quickly. That's the difference. So the Giants are going to push these guys along. Dubon hit a long home run last night. You know Marcos Britton?
Yes, Sacramento B.
Great writer.
Absolutely.
Great writer.
Yeah.
Wrote a big story on, what's that, Carmen?
Incorrect
pronunciation. I got Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder here today.
Marco Menez is what they're calling him.
Yeah. Breton, B-R-E-T-O-N, Sacramento B.
This is good.
Wrote a wonderful.
This is rich.
This is great stuff. Yeah.
Wrote a wonderful story about Mauricio today and coming from Honduras and all. It's in the Sacramento B. I'm sure you can read it online.
Absolutely, yeah. Go pick up the B. Go pick up the B. Support local newspapers, Marty.
Absolutely. You write for one, don't you?
I do. I write for several.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Easy to forget. Easy to forget when we're out here having a great time.
How do you like this 4 o'clock start?
Love it. Love it. I think that, you know, it's going to be tough on the hitters. It really should benefit Connor Menez. It should benefit
Carmen
him because he's got that funky arm slot where the fastball is tough, and so when the sun's hitting the mound but not hitting home plate, it can be very difficult for hitters to see at this ballpark, and I think that the Giants actually may have an advantage because Jake Arrieta is a little more traditional in his arm slot, and so Connor Menez could benefit from this.
You know, I was talking to Kevin Friends when they faced Arrieta last week in Philadelphia, 2 weeks ago in Philadelphia, and he said, look for him early because of these bone spurs. If he's throwing the curveball frequently, his arm's feeling pretty good, and he was that day.
He was getting
swings and the misses. Did get into trouble that third time through the lineup, which is really when he struggled this year, but if he's not throwing the curveball early, they say that's when he's not feeling great in his elbow.
Yeah, you need long at-bats. You need to get into this bullpen. You need to get Arrieta out before 5 innings. I think that's the key, because he's not going 6. He's not going 7 unless he has a really low pitch count, and so the Giants can do that. It's up to the guys at the top of the order to extend their plate appearances.
He hasn't gone more than 5 innings in like six weeks or something.
Yeah, I was going to say a month and a half or so.
Yeah, now he's pitching with bone spurs. Interesting. All right, well, the A's are next. What do you think about that?
Fun series. Meaningful baseball in the Bay Area is good for the Giants. It's great for the A's. I'm excited to see these two teams match up against each other because Giants fans are going to see what Matt Chapman, Matt Olson have, and they're going to see how they stack up against an A's team that is still a contender in that American League. And that race is fun as well. We've talked so much the past few days about the National League wild card race. I think the A's are going to be fun the rest of August and into September.
A's are a good baseball team, and they're struggling with their bullpen. They're starting pitching. They tried to shore up a little bit. Homer Bailey splits on the road versus at the Coliseum have been terrible, but Tanner Roark pitched pretty well for him yesterday. One guy we're going to miss playing center field here is Ramon Laureano.
Yeah.
Would have been sweet to see him play Triples Alley.
Really cool.
Yeah, he's
great
on the with the shin problem.
You are a young man. Are you a millennial?
That is, by definition, I am a young man, and I am a millennial.
You are a
millennial. Yeah,
right.
I sneak into the millennial age bracket.
Let's think of 1989, the Giants of 1989.
Yeah, let's think of that.
They're being honored today.
I have to open up my history books
Is there a name that comes up for you when you think of 89?
Well, you think of Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell right away. You think of those two. And to me, Will Clark is such a great ambassador for the Giants. I don't think you need to be, a Gen Xer or a baby boomer to understand what Will Clark means to this fan base, because he's still around on a daily basis. He still bleeds orange and black, and I think that anyone who's around the ballpark frequently knows that Will Clark's ties to this community are huge, and he's a big part of this organization, so I'm excited to see how he's received by the fan base today in this 1989 celebration.
Yeah, they should do something for him. I've said this for years. He is the link to that era. Mm-hmm. And as Adam says, well, they're going to retire Jack Clark's number 2.
Yeah.
Because he was 22 also.
Andrew McCutchen getting the number taken out of circulation.
But they should do something for him. Yeah. I always thought statue, plaque, something to commemorate Will Clark. Because Marichal Mays, of course, we love McCovey, is gone. And Cepeda. These Gaylord Perry, they will not be here forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that link to this other part of Giants baseball. Now, that's why I asked you the question.
Yeah.
And most people will say Will Clark.
Absolutely.
Is the link to that part of Giants baseball.
Yeah,
and Bonds
90s.
As well.
Yeah.
And then Bonds has his moment, too.
Yeah. But, you know, Bonds is always going to be commemorated in this ballpark. He's always going to be celebrated. But I think you're right. I think there needs to be some link from the 80s and 90s for Giants fans, because it's going to be a while before you're going to see Buster Posey and Madison Bumgarner out of baseball and coming back and coming to the ballpark on a regular basis. And we may never see that with Madison Bumgarner. He's not usually that guy, but I think we will with Posey. But those fans from the 80s and 90s need some connection, and I think Will Clark provides that.
Yeah. Well, and honoring Barry Bonds has opened up that window, right? Mm-hmm. They used to just do the stuff for the Hall of Famers, and we're going to get to that point now where it may be some of the greats weren't always Hall of Famers. Tim Lincecum's not going to go to the Hall, but he will certainly be honored here at some point as well. So these are the types of doors now I think they've opened beyond Hall of Famers.
The day that Tim Lincecum comes back to this ballpark, the celebration is going to be quite something. I think everyone is looking forward to that, especially because it's such a mystery. There was a Tim Lincecum sighting.
Exciting, yeah.
Yeah, he's got blonde highlights in his hair right now. He's in San Diego. Right. I think, you know, it would be really cool if he showed up for Bruce Bochy's last game.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Carmen, what do you think about that?
Jeez.
There we go.
What do I think of what? The sighting?
Yeah, about, you know.
You've got blonde streaks in your hair. How do you relate?
The connection to 89 and all that.
I mean, I was, I was a wee lad at that point. you know, I obviously think about the earthquake. I mean, Will Clark, I think Will Clark kind of transcends generations. Like, you don't have to have necessarily watched him play every day to love Will Clark, because like you were saying, he's such a relatable player. He is that player that I think fans can really connect to, whether or not they saw him play, whether or not they saw him play every day. They love him just the same. And, that's the guy I think of immediately when I think of that era.
Yeah. Yeah, they need it. I like it.
I love it.
Are you on board?
Yeah, I think it's okay. Yeah.
Marty, are you a millennial?
Exactly.
Do you watch the YouTubes?
I'm a baby boomer.
Oh, you're a baby boomer.
We have a millennial. What'd you say, Generation X? Who's that? Was that Adam?
I believe
we're
that's
the same age.
Yeah,
it's above. It's,
yeah,
it's right above.
It's
us.
Like the 40 to 59 age group.
You guys are the same
right
age?
Now. Yeah, Adam and
we're Carmen's essentially almost
a year apart.
Yeah.
I'm a millennial. I'm on the high end of the millennial.
All right.
But, yeah.
All right. Very good.
Millennials are the greatest generation, Marty.
That's what they say.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the most adaptable. They have the most information at their fingertips.
We can get really deep right now.
We're speaking about
avocado toast, et cetera.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. We have more coming up. It's a pleasure having you here. We're going to say goodbye to you. And enjoy your day. What are you doing today?
I'm covering the Giants and the Phillies. Sunday Night Baseball, Marty.
Where are your parents today?
That's a great question,
Adam. Figured I'd get that out there before Marty
gets exactly.
It.
Probably a breakfast with the transistor radio listening in. They don't miss the show. They don't miss the show.
12:30?
Yeah, 12:30.
Still having breakfast?
Well, you know, you got the long bike ride in the morning. So I
took a gander at your mom's Twitter, and it's literally just retweeting all of your articles.
This is good.
I think that's the only reason she has Twitter, is to... prop
my
you
mom
up.
Does. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's pretty
too.
Great.
Yeah. They should be on the Cabo San Lucas trip.
I should be on the Cabo San Lucas trip.
So
Marty.
Should I.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Talk to Greta.
Make that free.
Exactly. Exactly.
SFGiants.com/ what is it, vacations, yeah. Adam?
That's right. SFGiants.com/vacations. Or you can go today and enter the contest on the promenade level behind section 118.
I would suggest doing that.
Yeah, well, I'll be entering the Hawaiian Airlines contest under a pseudonym so that I can actually win.
Fantastic.
All right, Kerry, thanks so much as always.
Thank you, Marty.
All right, more coming up from the Public House right after this.